good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty? What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of the Nothing But Real Reviews and More podcast.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in everybody to another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Shane Cronican.
How's it going?
And Aaron Cronican.
Hello.
Guys, we have an excellent episode today. We are reviewing the brand new release, Mortal Kombat. It came out just a few days ago at this point, I think, right?
As of reviewing this, yeah.
Yeah, as of the review and as of depending on when Brent decides to upload it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It might have come out a month and a half ago. Who knows?
Uh-huh, at this rate. We had Cool Hand Luke sitting in the on-deck circle for about 3 or 4 weeks, I believe.
I'll have you know, Brent is all caught up.
Good. I'm glad Brent is all caught up as of last Saturday during the recording. For those unfamiliar with the show, we're a bunch of idiots and we don't really have a plan to anything, but we just kind of roll with it as we go. Or at least that's how I see things. And
mostly.
Yep. As we were recording, Shane, the one who uploads the podcast, didn't you record it or upload it like right after or right during?
The night before.
The night before.
So yeah. I didn't lie when I said it was up.
Yeah. But the time that it hath been upped, you know, was a little misleading. Anyway, we have Mortal Kombat on today's episode. Guys, we've been looking forward to this for a little while now, haven't we?
If we're talking a little while, there's been a Mortal Kombat movie trying to be made for about the last decade.
Who's the actor? Oh man.
Oh, mm-hmm. Louis Tan.
No. Joe Taslim.
No, I think he was in a movie called Falcon Rising.
Oh, Michael, you forgot Michael J. White?
Yes. Michael J. White, wasn't he trying to do he was trying to get something going with Mortal Kombat?
He played Jax in the Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Like the internet version of
mini series, yeah, type of deal.
Yeah, okay. And then I thought that was actually pretty
dang good for considering its budget. You know who played Johnny Cage in that?
Oh, good Lord. let me guess.
Give you a hint. He
is it Scott Adkins?
No, God, he was not.
Thank you, good Lord.
He starred in Starship Troopers. You don't know the Casper Van Diem, the only. Oh my God.
Yeah, we can. I feel like we should move on.
I feel like you should have known that.
I'm gonna be 100% honest. The only name that came to my head was James Vanderbeek, and I kept saying, don't say James Vanderbeek. Don't say James Vanderbeek.
Oh, God.
I wish you could play Johnny Cage in a current Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Pretend he's young.
Yeah.
It'd be Steve Buscemi.
If the ending of this new one is accurate, we have Johnny Cage in our future.
Yep.
Absolutely.
We'll get into the rest of our Mortal Kombat review later in the episode. But first, I want to talk about, have you guys seen anything lately worth talking about?
We can touch real quickly because my goal this week was to watch Mortal Kombat from 1995 and Mortal Kombat Annihilation from 1997 before watching this new version of Mortal Kombat.
And for me, add on Scorpion's Revenge, the animated movie.
I didn't get to that. I hear it's good, though.
It's very good.
So before watching this one, you get Mortal Kombat 1995, which is not great, but it's a watchable movie. And maybe it's nostalgia, but I like it. And then Annihilation might fight for worst movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this, which you'll get my thoughts on later. But okay. It was a whole lot of Mortal Kombat for me this week and not much else.
God, I'll be honest, I do not envy you.
I mean, it's all just nobody should ever have to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I'm looking at pictures and I remember this movie.
Oh my God.
But I don't know if I've ever seen it all the way, man.
I mean, we saw Mortal Kombat when it came out. I mean, we were what at that time? Seven or eight.
Yeah.
And on VHS from Blockbuster, and it's like the coolest thing ever.
And multiple times.
Yeah. And I've seen it, I don't know how many times. And it's still, like I said, it's not great, but it's
and we were at least way too young to know what Mortal Kombat was, but we did.
But then Annihilation came. And even at that time, I was too young to realize how crappy it was.
Did you?
I don't know. I mean, that was 99. Even at that age,
97.
I was like,
big difference.
Even 9-year-old me was sitting there like, listen, I don't hate this because it's Mortal Kombat and I'm a child.
Oh my God.
But my Lord, this is bad.
Did you guys look up the scores for Mortal Kombat, the 1995 version?
On Rotten Tomatoes? I have not. I imagine it's somewhere
in the 30s.
What? Like from Rotten Tomatoes, you mean?
Yeah, from Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to guess like, 30s from critics, high 50s from other viewers.
You're not far. It's high 50s from users, but it's 44% from critics.
Oh, it's higher than I thought.
Now let's look at Annihilation.
Oh, God. Ooh. Please be zero. From both.
It's got to be zero from critics. Well, let's say it's, I'm going to say single digits for critics and 10s from the audience.
It is 2% from critics. There has to be one critic that said, I liked it. And then 25% from audience.
Oh, wow. Higher than I thought.
So my thing, okay. God, I feel like we're just talking about Mortal Kombat a lot this episode.
Well, I mean, you have to.
There's
a whole universe behind this movie. So there's plenty to talk about.
I suppose. But two chances, I mean, multiple, because there was also a 2020 version or not of Mortal Kombat but. There's like an animated one or something like that, right?
Yeah, Scorpion's Revenge was the animated 2020 movie.
And then there was the one we talked about that was kind of it was like an internet series, basically. Yeah.
So a couple failed attempts at a movie, and they just keep trying to revive it.
Yeah.
Well, it failed in what regard? I mean, that 95 movie, our generation loves that movie. I still love that movie.
I'm not.
Have you seen the director? Okay, it's directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who he's made like 50 Resident Evil movies. And
he's not great.
Apparently a crappy Monster Hunter video game adaptation. But
Aliens versus Predator.
Oh boy, he's just not good.
Yeah.
Wait, who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
You're thinking Paul of Thomas. Paul Thomas Anderson. Yep. The snooty, not that one.
Could you imagine? No effing way. The dude that made The Master and all these other movies. No way.
You gotta start somewhere.
What? Yeah, he made Punch Drunk Love or whatever too.
Yeah.
His
first in Mortal Kombat was just a deep reflection on the inner workings of the human soul.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Good Lord, that's funny. I was like, no friggin'. Anyway, okay.
So then anyways, what happened with the sequel, Annihilation, was the cinematographer or director of photography from the first one decided, you know what? I can direct. And he tried to direct the second one, his first feature film ever. And it shows. And it's terrible.
Interesting.
And half the cast bailed and they had to replace them. And
that's kind of fitting because isn't this Simon McCoy's directing debut?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so I'm like, what's with they can't get like a
well, okay, come on, Shane. Steven Spielberg's not jumping into this saying, all right, no, my
of course
turn.
Not Steven Spielberg.
Well, no, I'm saying there's no big name that are
you don't need. I'm not saying a big name, but somebody accomplished, even if it's in like one of the B movie directors that I love, Jesse V. Johnson, who did Triple Threat, somebody that knows action and martial arts.
Yeah.
You can't get somebody from Anybody from that actually does martial arts movie, whether it's any of them, Korean, Japanese, Chinese, any of the foreign martial arts movies, there's right. amazing directors that know mm-hmm. what they're doing.
Who's the guy that did The Raid?
Gareth Evans.
Evans.
Yeah, I mean, he's busy. I get that. But yeah, I'm not saying a big name director, but somebody that knows action, at least.
Is he busy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, Gareth Evans or Gareth Edwards? Is that a person?
Evans is the one that did The Raid. Edwards is the one that did Rogue One and
that's Godzilla. Right. That's right. Okay. That's who I was thinking of. God, I'm Gareth just making a Evans whole is, lot of is things
apparently
here.
Apparently doing a Deathstroke movie, rumored for that. He's working on a movie he with has Tom been, Hardy.
Working on Gangs of London. I know he directed a few episodes, and I'm pretty sure he had he's a series creator, or at least one of them, and helped write. And so that's been his, like,
yeah.
I mean, TV series that those take a lot, especially if you're that involved. So, but still, I mean, the point is, I don't need a big time director, but you can't get anybody with any experience. You just got to be like, well, let's yeah. hope.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess shame on me for not doing enough research, but Simon McCoy, whatever his name is, the director.
Yeah. McCoy
is. He's not, you know how you get these kind of stunt performers or stunt coordinators that go into directing, like the John Wick team.
Yes.
He's not that. He's not an established, like, how did he get this? Was it just James Wan doing everything and Simon McCoy was kind of just a figurehead?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe this was.
And I guess we'll get into it more, but I'm not saying he did a terrible job. I'm just saying that he did a serviceable job, and somebody with more experience or knowledge on the subject maybe could have done a better job.
I'm just super curious how he got this. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because
okay,
he has no other. Nothing on IMDb.
There very well could be this could be an instance where the producers are leading a lot of the production. You know what I mean?
And he was a producer of this movie.
Yeah. So, like, and there were tons of producers. I mean, obviously, right. But there could be this could be like he. I mean, by your standards, a figurehead. But you know, I don't take that away from him. I think he. Probably
and again,
did a
I
ton
I am absolutely
film.
Not trying to dump on him. I think he did. A good
we'll
job,
we'll,
especially
we'll get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
We'll get into
say
it.
That for later, but I want to make it clear I'm not saying he's a terrible director.
Yeah. Shane, have you seen anything recently?
No, not really. Like I said, basically just Mortal Kombat all week leading up to this. I've been playing the video games. I watched that animated movie. I was not going to rewatch Annihilation, so I didn't. I watched the 95 one, and then I watched the Scorpion's Revenge, the animated one, which is very good. If you haven't seen it, it's, I mean, it's kind of pretty basic story that we've seen a bunch in Mortal Kombat, but I think it's handled really well. It's very gory. It's like definite R-rated adult animation, but it's fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay. I haven't seen either of those, so I don't know what else.
You got to.
Yeah, have you seen anything else this week, or was it legitimately just Mortal Kombat?
Heather's been watching a lot of Modern Family, so I watched a few episodes of that.
I don't mind that show.
I like it a lot. She's been binge watching it, and I'll catch an episode here and there just. You know, relax. If we just want to watch kind of some fun, lighthearted stuff, we've been watching Impractical Jokers, which is just a fantastic, fantastic show. That show cracks me up so much. Have you seen that one?
A little. It honestly kind of makes me cringe.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. That show cracks me up. Because
they put them in such like odd situations where I'm like, oh no.
I think it's so funny.
Like some of it is funny, but I think like the end, the punishment one is where it really gets me, and I'm like, I don't really like this. Because I've seen some bad punishments. Yeah, that's funny. I know. Good friend of the show, Nick. I think that's just going to be his nickname on the show. Good friend of the show, Nick.
Good friend of the show, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah. He loves that show as well. So he's sent me clips, and I've had to binge them.
He's right.
Just so I can talk to him about it. I haven't really seen anything either. I watched, we're still watching Mad Men. We're in like season 5 or 6. And it lulled for a little bit. And I still like it, dude. And Jon Hamm went from being an above average actor at the beginning of the series to being like, holy shit, this dude's pretty damn good.
That's something I will literally never say about Jon Hamm.
I don't know why you hate him.
He's vanilla. He's boring.
He's not boring.
He's not interesting enough for me to hate. I just completely don't care at all about him.
Interesting.
He's not even interesting enough to make me feel anything.
Interesting. I like him. I would watch more Jon Hamm movies because of this. Well, not like I hated him in the first place.
Well,
Jonathan Hamm. Does he have anything coming out?
I'm trying to think
of what he might have been. The only thing I know he was in was he was a boring, forgettable character, as usual, in El Royale.
Baby Driver.
The Town.
Oh, God, Baby Driver. Baby Driver.
Richard Jewell.
He did. Yeah, Richard Jewell. I forgot he was in that. I forget he's in a lot of things.
Oh, he's in Tag, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
My God, he's in the Top Gun sequel.
Yeah, so, probably has like white captain. That's probably his character. That's all.
Well,
he's just,
I mean,
like,
I wouldn't
white
expect
guy.
Him to play black captain.
Hey, well, Downey Jr. could do it.
Stop. Oh my God.
My point is, he's boring as hell.
Yeah, fair enough. He's white bread.
He is. He's got no personality.
Yeah. I like him. He does well. January Jones is in that as well. I believe that's her name.
Yes. She's also terrible.
I cannot stand her, and I don't know if it's the character or if it's just her.
It's her, because I've seen her in other things, and she's horrendous.
Yeah. I was like, I don't ever want to see you in anything ever.
Yeah, she is a terrible, terrible actress. Not to be mean, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just bad. It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, but it is kind of crazy, though, because a lot of the actors in the show are not great, but... Hamm,
the writing is so good.
Well, yeah, and like the storyline's very interesting, and then just see Hamm own every single scene and where it goes. I mean, I guess Elizabeth Moss is in it and she's really good. But
is everyone else so bad that he by contrast looks better than he actually is?
It could. It very well could. But you know, I get it. I'm not gonna convince you about Mortal Kombat or about Mad Men at all, but we can't talk about bad acting without talking about Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation has some of the most beautiful examples of bad acting I've ever seen.
That's it comes full circle. It's so bad. Like, you want to watch, you know how Matt always talks about so bad it's good, and like most times we're like, that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing with Mortal Kombat. If you go in intentionally wanting to laugh at how terrible something is, that is the movie to watch.
What, Annihilation?
Yes.
Have you ever seen the famous line that's just so awfully delivered, where the one character says, "Mother, you're alive," and the actress points at her menacingly and says, "Too bad you will die." it's the greatest thing.
I did, like, I'm gonna hold that in my back pocket for like the Dare Month or whatever, the Hate Month, whatever the hell we called that, and I'm gonna make some people watch that movie.
Do it. I'd love to see it. I really would. Oh, I really would. I don't know if there's anything else we want to talk about at the start of the show. Are you guys ready to talk about Mortal Kombat? Let's do it because I think
there's a lot to talk about.
All right, getting into it. Mortal Kombat from 2021, rated R, hour and 50 minutes long, action, adventure, fantasy film. Did I say it was rated R? It's rated R. MMA fighter Cole Young seeks out Earth's greatest champions in order to stand out against the enemies of Outworld in a high-stakes battle of the universe. I don't know if that's quite a great synopsis. I feel like it could have been better.
Yeah, He doesn't do any seeking out.
No, I mean, kind of. It's like they go to find a raid. It doesn't matter. But we'll move on. Directed by Simon McCoy. Written by Greg Russo and Dave Callahan. Story by Oren Uziel and Greg Russo. And it's based on the video games. Starring Louis Tan, Jessica McNamee, Josh Lawson, Joe Taslim, Mikad Brooks, Matilda Kimber, Laura Brent.
I mean, it's a big cast.
Yeah. Hiroyuki Sanada, Chin Han, Ludi Lin, Max Huang, Sissy Stringer, or CC Stringer, rather.
Oh, I think you might have forgot Tadanobu Asano. He was Raiden.
Tadan, yep.
I mean, it's a huge cast. Just go look it up.
You missed extraordinary actor and former WWE star Nathan Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Who was he?
He was
the big guy.
The big dude with the big hammer.
That was some of the worst acting.
Stop. I said extraordinary.
No. Oh, my God, dude. Are you serious? I don't know. Like, we haven't even gone through the intro, and just seeing his face reminded me of how bad his performance was.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like a
WWE theatrical over-the-top performance.
Comically bad. Was he in Mad Max?
Yeah, wasn't apparently. He the diaper one?
It looks like it, yeah.
His name was Rictus Erectus.
Love it. Yes. Okay, Mortal Kombat. Oh, I'm on Annihilation. We don't want to read those reviews.
Nope.
Mortal Kombat on Rotten Tomatoes gets a 55% from critics, giving it a score of 5.5 out of 10. Audience score of 87%, giving it a 4.4 out of 5. The damn. Critics' 8. Consensus, 8. Yeah, audience.
Damn, slow love. Your roll, audience. Audience. Come on.
Love this. Largely for fans of the source material, but far from fatality flawed. It was like in parentheses.
That's yep. bad.
Yep. Mortal Kombat revives the franchise in appropriately violent fashion. Another one I want to point out, and I'm not making this up, GameSpot, and it's only relevant because this is a video game movie. GameSpot gave this a 9 out of 10.
Really? That's
and their review was only a link to their website to buy the latest Mortal Kombat game.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. No, dude, but I
listen, I get the excitement. Don't get me wrong. I was as excited as anybody for this movie. I love this universe. I love the characters. It was finally rated R. You started off right. Joe Taslim playing Sub-Zero. I mean, are you kidding me? Hiroyuki Sanada as Scorpion. You have legitimate good actors. Some.
You know the acting's horrible when he says legitimately good actors. Well, some.
Okay, yeah, because some are not good.
No, most of them are not.
And in the defense of the positive reviews, there are a lot of things that this movie does right. There are.
Name one.
What do you mean name one? I just named like four actors.
Okay.
All the characters are done right for the most part. The visual effects are hit and miss, but mostly good.
We're going to disagree a lot.
So, okay, hear me out. This is the things that I think they got right.
Okay.
Casting. I wouldn't even say acting.
No, not even.
I would say casting they got right.
For Sub-Zero.
More Scorpion. No,
I think they got a lot of the, like, okay, hear me out. The acting was still bad in a lot of, but I feel like they filled the role well. Like, they got actual martial artists.
Some.
In a lot of the situations they did, right?
A few. Just like some are actors that know martial arts, but
okay, just like any movie, more. I mean, there's going to be standout actors and weaker actors, and that was the case here.
I'm thinking specifically right off the bat. Let's talk about the lead actor, Louis. What's his name? Louis Tan.
Okay,
Latan.
So
maybe.
That's my biggest gripe: is his entire character and arc and acting and everything. It felt like studio. I don't want to say interference, but them forcing this character on them, saying we need a character to introduce the audience to this universe. Yep. Make yep. make the most plain, basic.
Yep.
Just, I mean, you want to talk about John Hamm could have played this character.
No. John Hamm would have elevated this role, first of all.
Mortal Kombat has a billion characters to choose from, and your lead character is some boring made-up dude.
Dude, I've never even heard of him. I was like, is this a real dude?
He's not a real guy.
Okay, I had no
even
idea.
The made name, up for even the movie. Name Cole Young, like, come on. Yeah. Everything about that character reeks of more just like the studio's hand in the kitchen forcing them to do this. Dude, everything about him.
Doesn't Cole Young just like it's the most generic name. Like, you could sub in any name, like, for real, like Paul Newman, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ridiculous.
I would have rather seen Paul Newman play this role in his 80s.
For real. But like, you're right. The story arounding Cole is the most
time out.
Let's know what arounding's the thing. No, keep going.
What did I say?
You said arounding.
Oh, well, whatever. Around Cole.
Surrounding. Yeah. That's a good word.
I combined them. Look at that. The story arounding him is just the most...
We can all agree he was a terrible decision.
I wanted to talk about this.
The casting, his story, his, you know, quote, powers, dumb as hell. Everything about him, dumb as hell.
So let's go then for... Off of that, the two writers that are credited, screenplay credited, are Greg Russo and Dave Callahan. Mm-hmm. And Greg Russo has no prior credits, so I can't say anything about him other than he had a hand in this nonsense.
He wrote the story and the screenplay.
Dave Callahan, on the other hand, is apparently Hollywood's go-to for idiotic, nonsensical action movies.
Yeah.
He wrote
Doom
2005, Expendables 2, Expendables 3, Godzilla.
Okay.
Zombieland Double Tap.
Yep. Wonder Woman 1984. Okay. So
He writes characters for blockbusters, which is nothing to shame him for.
Hear me out. But seeing his former filmography, this is not that movie like the other movies are. This movie took itself, I think, too seriously.
Agreed.
And like Expendables. You know that those aren't taking itself like they're serious.
Agreed, and that might be a it might just be a clash between the director and what he wanted, and the writer and what they wrote it for.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, because honestly, the seeing his filmography, I kind of want to see his movie, because this movie feels so disjointed, and there's like no real climax to it. Does anyone else feel that
There's
way?
There's no like, real anything to it. No, I didn't feel much of anything.
No. I when they did their whole journey to find Raiden, and I was like, is this a turning point in the movie? Is this supposed to be like, it just feels like we're going through the motions right now.
Yeah. And there was no tension. The music was
awful,
horrendous.
Distracting. Oh my God. I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed.
No, I 100% agree.
Like, at least in the 1995, we got the cheesy, awesome, but at the same time, terrible dance music. I mean, at least it was fun.
Yeah. No,
this
was like a
melodrama soap opera soundtrack. Yes,
for
but
sure.
That doesn't have to be bad. Okay. And hear me out on this.
Okay.
And this defense is you're going to. I'm just going with it. Yep. The Fast and Furious, okay? Those are horrible, horrible movies. But they so perfectly... they so perfectly balance that silly melodrama with, like... They take it just serious enough, but everybody knows it's insane, and they just roll with it. Yeah, this, they took it way too serious.
That's what I was going to say, but it works for them because they were able to balance it, and they know.
That's what I mean. Like, if this would have gone like full blown silly, dumbass Fast and Furious nonsense, it would have been better for it.
For sure. And I think you can kind of see that shine through in a few parts that would have been effing epic.
Well, hell, the entirety of Josh Lawson's character is
Are you talking? Is he Kano?
Yeah, he's Kano.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You didn't like him?
I thought it was, it felt forced within the context of the rest of the movie. There, like, oh God, we need somebody to act like an idiot and get some laughs.
There were parts where I was like, okay, this is kind of funny. And then I felt like they overused it because that's all they had.
I do agree. It grew old a little bit, but
it grew old very quickly.
The movie had some life when he was on
screen. Well, true, it felt like a low class Ryan Reynolds character. It was awful.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say awful. I would say it was hit and miss. I really liked some parts of him.
Agreed. In my eyes, the one good thing about this movie.
Oh, stop. Joe Taslim was the one good thing about this movie.
I didn't care. Sub-Zero was fine. I was distracted by his costume.
What was wrong with this costume?
Costume design in this movie is bad. Is awful. F.
It's the same flaw as the rest of the movie. Like, where are the colorful? This is Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Quit making it a real life. Like, just it colorful and fun.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero have muted colors over there. Like,
Scorpions was created like by that time period Japanese.
Okay. Armor. No, I get that.
Okay. And I think he looked fine. Sub-Zero was a little muted. Probably should have been, I don't know, blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say.
Good call. Good call. I mean, but even so, okay.
Okay,
so,
you at least have to give me this.
No. Hang on. Are you still talking about costumes?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Kung Lao looked fantastic. He was colorful with his blue and red. The frisbee hat.
Okay, he was good. You're right.
Kung Lao looked fantastic.
And when Liu Kang went with the white and red, with the red headband, I was like, okay, there's Mortal Kombat character.
Okay, sure. Okay, so you have two. But
Jax, when he finally got his arms, which was
way too late,
how it happened.
Way too late in the movie.
And yeah, that too. But he looked good.
The costumes that I'm really looking at, Goro looked awful, first of all. Like, that's CGI.
That's not even costumes. That's just the whole CGI in this movie. Yes,
awful. But then also Raiden didn't look the best.
I didn't mind Raiden.
I didn't like it at all. Cole Young, first of all, his character throughout was awful. I mean, like his costume or whatever. But then when he finally gets his thing and you see like it light up like, ooh, in the Goro fight, and then never see it light up again.
Or why it does that.
Yeah, no idea. Like, and
his whole thing was stupid.
And like, okay, so this is something that the Marvel movie did really well. They had basically like a shirt, but the torso, it was just like sleeves basically, and the torso was like mesh. And then they put on a vest to complete the costume and hide the sleeve lines. But that way, when they raised their arms above their head, it wouldn't have like created ripples or bubbles in the rest of the costume. Like it looked natural and still form fitting, and it looked really well.
Right.
Any character in this movie, especially on Cole Young's stupid orange-ish yellow thing, whatever the hell it was.
His bracelet weave suit of armor, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah. It rippled and it looked like it was just plastic. It's like, dude, you didn't learn anything from the 10 years that they've made in Marvel movies.
And I think a big part of that. It goes right back to the fact that they didn't know how to approach the tone and how serious they were taking because they wanted to do take this silly, silly, just outlandish universe and somehow try to make it gritty and realistic.
Yeah.
Gritty, Mortal Kombat's not gritty. It's violent as hell, but it's not gritty.
No.
It's bright colors. It's silly. That is Mortal Kombat, is that combination of the just complete ludicrous silliness and melodrama mixed with this insane over the top violence. And the violence was there at points in this movie, but I think it's that seriousness because they wanted, and that affects the costumes, that affects the look of the characters, it affects everything when you want to try to make it real. They should have taken, like you mentioned, the Marvel approach. Bright colors and uniforms that maybe aren't comic book accurate, but fit the aesthetic of a comic book uniform. They're bright and they're vibrant. And then just, make it a rated R Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
The few beautiful parts that, like, I think viewers really wanted and that we got, like the fatality or whatever, like the person yes. killing him said it was fine, but it didn't hit. Like, especially Kano wins when he rips out Reptile's heart or whatever. Like, I was like, okay, that's kind of clever, but it just didn't hit. It missed the mark, and I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, guys? And so that's,
or even who was Kung Lao when he said flawless victory.
Yeah, that's like, what
okay
it was.
So first of all, that was terrible. Second, it was not a flawless victory.
I think that one was, wasn't it? When he sliced, was it the one where he sliced her in half?
No, because she was like flying around hitting him.
Oh. And well, still, I like how they did that. I just like, I like incorporating things from the video game, but
you have to know what the hell it means and when it applies.
Yeah.
But they were like half a step away from looking directly into the camera and winking every time they did one of those.
Well, right. Yeah, that's like,
it was so obvious.
I mean, it was not seamless.
Right. It's like they just looked at Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And like, they did that. We can do that. Right.
And yeah, it's okay. Back to characters real quick.
Yes.
Cabal was cool and well done and looked like his character from the games.
Which he was Cabal, the red dude?
Red eyed assassin guy.
He was cool. I didn't really like his voice. Also, I wish something would light up when he would like talk, like either his eyes or his mouth, because it just, the voice seemed to be coming from everywhere. That's just, it was a good character design flaw, but he looked cool.
And then lastly, not necessarily even a costume, because it was just CGI and very bad CGI at that. But I think her name was Nitara, the winged,
yeah,
the one that gets cut in half by Kung Lao. Mm-hmm. That was awful.
Yeah,
like I don't know if this was a finished product. To be honest, the CGI?
I don't know. I mean, maybe because this got bought by HBO last minute, right? It wasn't produced for HBO?
No, it was one of those WB movies that got HBO. They sold the streaming rights.
Right.
Same so day wonder, as theatrical release.
I wonder if they slashed the budget last minute to fit within the deal.
If I remember correctly, it had a $95 million budget.
That's not a lot. That is not a lot in today's
standards.
It's standard.
Not. So, it's like mid-range, I would say.
I'd say
low blockbuster. I mean,
I wouldn't even say it's blockbuster. I'd say it's low. I'd say it's very low for a budget. Because think about it. How much did? I mean, Endgame is a once in a lifetime type movie,
or at least once in a decade.
Type, right.
I mean, yeah.
But that thing had what, $1 billion budget?
Was it that much?
I think it did. Did it not?
Jeez, I don't know.
And I mean,
going back to characters, because I want to run down this list. Because
It was 365. It grossed a billion. I misspoke there.
Okay. So this was a third of that. I mean, that's low level blockbuster, at least mid range.
Yeah, maybe. I suppose.
I want to give credit to I think Sonya Blade did fine. I think she wasn't great. Yeah. I think some of it was her writing, but I think the actor did fine. I think it felt like Sonya Blade. I liked Joe Taslim as Sub-Zero, whatever issues he may have had with the costume design.
Yeah, he made Sub-Zero a scary character.
I mean, on site, he had that presence where like he just was, you knew he was a badass, you knew he would just wreck some people. Mikkod Brooks, I think, did fine as Jax.
Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything.
Well, he fit the character. I mean, he felt like Jax.
Sure.
Hiroyuki Sanada, I think, was fantastic as Scorpion. I wish he would have got more time.
Severely under you.
He was good.
I'm convinced they shot those scenes to make a trailer.
In a day. Yeah, probably. He was great, though. And the ones that I don't think they did poorly, but I think they were hurt by how memorable the original ones were in 95, is Tadanobu Asano as Raiden and Jin Han as Shang Tsung. They did fine, but they were almost like muted versions of those characters, compared to the 95 versions, how memorable those characters were and those performances were.
And the same thing, throw in Liu Kang. Because I don't care what you say about those movies, but Robin Shu, or Xiao, or however you say it.
Yes, he was amazing.
Is good. and was perfect. And then we got this guy that's like, I don't know.
And whatever. One more.
Fine.
I mentioned his costume, I think, was spot on, but I also think the acting was fantastic. Kung Lao might have been my favorite character in this movie.
Yeah, he was good.
The acting was good. He felt like Kung Lao. He looked like Kung Lao. He fought. I think his fight scenes were very good. I think everything about him was done as well as possible.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I feel kind of the same way about most of the casting as I do about the movie. Just whatever. It's just uninspiring.
Yeah, this honestly, if we could run down these really quick, like cinematography, like a B.
Let's talk about cinematography and maybe not cinematography. Whoever made the decision to shoot the fight scenes the way they were shot, fire them.
Yes.
Why are they making a fight movie when they can't shoot fight scenes?
Fair. That's experience. Action movies aren't given the credit I think they deserve from a filmmaking standpoint, because there's so much technique and just knowledge on how to film fights.
Well, like, I think
when people that don't know how try to film action, it looks horrible. And I don't think this was horrible. It was definitely on the low end, but I wouldn't classify it as horrible.
I think their problem was it's Mortal Kombat. We're not expecting greatness from an acting standpoint. Why not hire martial artists or stunt performers capable of pulling off the moves? Because I think probably a lot of it had to do with Joe Taslim has the ability. Louis Tan has some training. The guy that played Kung Lao has some martial arts training. Who else had a lot of
fights? You know who doesn't, and I think held her own in the fight scenes, was Jessica McNamee as Sonya Blade. And I know probably a lot of that was stunt work, but at least it was filmed well enough where you couldn't tell. But I think her fight scenes, especially her fight scene against Kano, I thought was one of the best, because that was the one that had the most impact to it, where you felt the stakes and the hits felt hard. It didn't feel like a PG-13 fight scene. It felt like a fight.
Yeah. Going back to cinematography though, really quick, I gave it a B because I do feel like they did some pretty good angles when it wasn't a fight. Like this is like some of the first scenes of the movie when Scorpion like throws the thing on the chain.
Yeah.
And it like I thought, I don't know, some of that was pretty good, I think. But that
fight scene was choreographed very well.
Yeah.
And filmed very well.
Yeah, but
those were the two highlights of the movie was Scorpion versus Sub-Zero at the beginning and at the end.
Bookends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the rest of it was like, oh golly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I was disappointed that Reptile was just a reptile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we going to say that? I was waiting for him to like transform the entire time.
So was I like, into a fighter?
Yes. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I was like, is that it? That was it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
I felt like they did that with a lot of characters. Like that's it. That's what we got out of them.
Yep. Well, Goro. I mean,
oh yeah. I thought Goro was like the big bad.
Goro is like, so in the lore, in the story, he was like the reason they won 9 out of 10 because nobody could beat Goro. He was like, prince. He's Prince Goro. I mean, yeah, just look at him. Like the dude, that was why they won 9 because literally nobody could defeat Goro. Even if they got that far, Outworld wins because they have this forearm, just massive monster. And then boring ass, dumbass Cole Young beats him. Get out of here.
In a boring fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything about that character was just lame. That was their biggest misstep. Their just most massive misstep was the necessity of introducing that character and weaving him into the story.
I'm getting angry thinking about it. The writing, like at the beginning when he's getting his butt kicked in the MMA ring and his daughter's like, throw the uppercut. Like, okay, that's not, you just don't win a fight by an uppercut.
No, you do.
I don't know. Do you mean? Yeah. That was a pretty good Mortal Kombat reference because
back
in the day, dude, that's how you won some fights. Okay,
speaking of, I also thought that was friggin' hilarious when, I don't know, who was it? Liu Kang kept doing the trip thing in Kano. Yeah. I was like, that is hilarious. But we,
yeah, even my wife got that reference.
Yeah.
Like spamming the low kick, the sweep the legs. Yeah.
And is he, his reaction even, is that the only move you know? Because you know you heard that if you did that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, going back to the awful writing, they came back during the Goro fight, and off screen, as Cole Young's getting his butt kicked, you hear his daughter yell, "Do the uppercut." Yeah, and then he does, and he wins. Like, come on.
Everything about that character was a misstep, misfire.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Okay.
So let me ask you this before we like start getting into ratings and all that. And this is kind of my foreshadowing my ultimate thoughts of the movie is I think this was a fine movie and a fine start in introduction to a universe and franchise. Would you watch? No.
Scrap it and start over.
Wait, really? Sorry. What was the question, Shane?
Would you would you be excited for a franchise jumping off from this point?
No.
And why?
100% no, because I didn't like this movie.
Yeah, but
he got so mad.
But my point is,
what do you mean? Why
enough? It set up enough.
No, it's not. It's not.
What did they set up?
Some of the characters are very good. I mean, if you take out Cole Young, if you're talking about Liu Kang and Jax,
it doesn't matter. That's my point. Is it doesn't matter, and they still somehow screwed it up.
I disagree. I think if you get a writing and directing team that knows.
No, okay. I agree. Want. Get a new writer. Yeah. Get a new director. Take Joe Taslim.
I am
make
absolutely
a new
not saying if they made a franchise with this team. I'm just saying the building blocks are present in this movie.
The whole thing, though, hear me out. Why, if you have to take a new writer, new director, new actors aside from Joe Taslim, why even move forward?
Yeah.
You're rebuilding from the ground up. Supposed to be a franchise, is it though?
Well, first of all,
before.
No, let's address that. Mortal Kombat does not need a franchise.
Just think it's going to. But just think of
it doesn't need one. It's going
think
to
think of the
one.
Evolution of and I'll go back to it again, the Fast and Furious. How different the first
this
movie
is not
is
a,
to
an
now.
Argument winning.
I'm telling you right though, it that has perfected its own formula. For success.
Okay.
Everything that was built on now is completely different yet somehow the same, but the tone is different. Like they have tweaked it to where it feels like a completely different franchise. That could happen with this. They could take what they've built and adjust it and tweak it and find that sweet spot.
I mean, when they make a second one, which they will, I will be 100% skeptical because of this.
Well, we were about this. I mean, we had the conversation with Matt.
But this thing, based on this movie, it did not earn the right to make a sequel.
No, it did not.
I'll still be excited for one. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to defend it. I don't think it's as terrible as you think it is, but. It's not what I was hoping for either. I disagree. Mortal Kombat can absolutely be a franchise. You look at the insanity of this the video game storylines and the deaths and the resurrections and the overthrows of all the cons of Outworld. I mean, you could go on and on and on.
Yeah, perhaps in the next one they might have a tournament.
Well, they were. They set it up.
No, they didn't. I mean,
they did because this was a precursor to the tournament, and he was trying to prevent the tournament from ever happening.
Which kind of then why even bring up the? I don't know. It's just so there's this tournament and this and that, but hey, remember
we'll
all that stuff?
Fight.
We just
it doesn't matter.
About?
We'll just fight.
Yeah, we'll just go out back and we'll just give him a good tussle.
Well, here's
and
the
what
thing.
Do you do now? I mean, okay, it's Mortal Kombat.
You go into the tournament.
Dead.
You just write some crazy.
No, I'm talking about you killed your one good character.
Oh, he's not dead.
I know that. It's Mortal Kombat. They can bring it back, but
Did you have you seen? I'm gonna keep talking about it because I hope this franchise goes in the same direction. Did you see the trailer to the new Fast and Furious?
What is wrong with you?
They brought Han back. He's died twice already.
I don't know who that is. I don't care.
It's the Asian guy that died twice already.
No, he's all the right. Dude. I'm pretty sure he's the guy that.
Oh, from Star Wars.
Yep. Yes, Han Solo. But they are definitely doing. I shouldn't say definitely.
You act like you're just trying to convince us, dude.
Joe Taslim signed a 4-year option in his contracts for 4 other movies. Not 4-year, 4 other movies.
I hope he's talking back to the WB execs saying, get and real talented people
if
involved.
If you guys knew anything, Sub-Zero died in the game and then became Noob Saibot, so he could always come back as that, if not Sub-Zero. So just learn your story. All right. What I'm
saying. Can we talk about how bad the CGI is? Didn't we? Every scene. Let's talk. Whatever her name is, wings were just floating wings. Weren't even attached. Didn't look real at all. Goro looked like a cartoon character. Half the settings when they did wide shots, terrible. I mean, there was not one instance except for maybe the ice. Sub-Zero's ice was really well done.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. The lightning, Raiden's lightning was cool when it would appear and disappear.
Honestly, it felt unfinished.
The sucking the soul when Shang Tsung sucked Kung Lao's soul out, that looked cool.
Sure. The laser was poopy.
I think the fire dragon fatality looked fine.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That one looked pretty cool. Yeah, yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah. It wasn't all bad. I can do. You want to know movie. what physical effect threw me off was that silly ass plastic like Power Rangers ray gun looking thing sticking out of the middle of Raiden's temple. What in the hell was that?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was the thing with, like, it's a pole, looked like a clear plastic pole with a bunch of rings around it and like the light that goes up and down it. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, and that's what created the thing. Kano destroyed it. Yeah,
that looked like the thing in the Power Rangers. Like,
yeah,
that was silly as hell. It was just plastic with lights. Yeah,
and you're defending this movie.
They probably took it like from the 1995 Power Rangers Command Center.
Probably.
I mean, why not, right?
Listen, I'm not saying this movie's perfect. I'm trying to defend it by saying it was.
You seem sure hard to be trying to, though.
It was fine. Yeah, because I want to like it.
All right,
I'm trying to convince myself as much as you.
Yeah. Let's rate this thing. We're running out of time.
All right.
Real quick, Steve gave it a 5 out of 10, did he say? 6 out of 10. Said thought it would be better. Action scenes were pretty sweet, though. Matt says 5 out of 10, continuing the trend of video game movies not working. Just as cheesy as the 1995 original, but doesn't embrace the camp. Horrible editing prevents from enjoying the fight scenes. Yeah, so 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll go first. I'm lower than them. It's a 4. I didn't enjoy this at all. I was so let down. It's not fun. It's not well made. It's not well acted. Fight scenes aren't great because you can't see much of anything, and most of them aren't good at fighting. I give it a 4.
Yikes. Mike?
I am at a 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's not, how do you Americans say good?
That is how we say that.
I wanted to like it, but there were points, and I can't believe we didn't bring this up earlier, but there were audible points where Laura watched this with me and she laughed at it. Yeah. She laughed at it because this is what we're doing? Like,
It should be fine to laugh at, but you're laughing at it for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
You're laughing at the horribleness, not the intentional campiness.
She literally, okay, so when Jax pulls up to Cole and he's like, you have a dragon birthmark or whatever, and he's like, yeah, and he pulls down his shirt, she literally said, that's not a birthmark.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's stupid. Like, the cheese is there, but they're not selling cheese.
No, they weren't in on the joke.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
It's frustrating.
I wanted to like this more than you can know. I like this was my jam.
Uh-huh.
And it
didn't live up to it. I'm not nearly as down on it as you, but it did not live up to it. I'm going to go a 5.5. I think it's fine. It does enough things right. And I want it to give credit because some of the actors did everything they could do. It just didn't mesh into a full movie.
Yeah.
And I hope that they can right the ship in future movies.
This movie's a D+. It's a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, 5 out of 10.
Yep.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's not sad. It's deserving.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's not.
No, I know what you mean.
It's disappointing. Yeah. This is like Glass to me, you know, where it's like I want it so badly for a good movie.
We looked forward to it and here we are.
Yeah.
It's just rough. It is what it is, but I mean, make a better movie.
That's true.
I hate to say it, but just, you know,
no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Okay, so I don't even know if we have time to do this or that.
Let's just do one this or that. This or the 95 Mortal Kombat, and I'm 100% on the 1995 version.
Fair enough. I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to
knock
you.
The only thing, Sub-Zero is significantly better in this, so is Scorpion. The rest, 95 wins. I'll take this Sub-Zero and Scorpion all day, but 95 wins on the rest of it and overall.
Fair enough. All right, guys. 5 for Mortal Kombat. Join us online at moviereviewcrew.com. You can request movies right on our homepage. We are continuing our way through all of our listener requests. So please get your submissions onto our website. I think I had a friend reach out and tell me he's going to submit some more. So if you see
we did have a new submission. I didn't have a chance to read it, but I saw it pop up on my phone.
Perfect. Well, we got some more coming in. So guys, again, moviereviewcrew.com. 5 for Mortal Kombat. Anything else, gentlemen?
No, nope. That's it.
All right. Someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Nothing But Real Reviews and More. Remember to like us on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe and rate on iTunes.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.